If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 35. I'm Stephen Hopper, the head of IGN's Xbox channel. Joining me today are my fellow locksmiths, Peter Eichmans, Beard in Chief, Casey Lynch. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Gobble, 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 gobble,
gobble. It is indeed gobble. Almost the gobble gobbling. The day of it. Gobble gobbling.
The event of events.
Highlander 2, the gobbling.
A day designed to eat.
Awesome.
There shall be only seconds.
Wow. Yeah, so it's coming up on Thanksgiving. We're going to get some time off. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Hooray. A little bit.
Going to be able to eat a shitload of turkey.
Yeah.
And catch up on a shitload of games. Now, what are you guys going to play?
I don't know about catching up. I feel like to actually beat all of the games that have come out this fall, which I want to do, it's going to take much more than a holiday weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I'm halfway through Assassin's Creed. I'm going to finish that Skyrim. Oh, Saints Row, I'm going to play Skyrim. Rayman should be fun. Skyrim.
I'm exactly the same way. I just look at all the games I have on my shelf right now, just staring back at me like, come on, man, what the fuck? Are we gonna do this or what? But it always just ends up going back to Skyrim.
I know.
I can't quit you, Skyrim.
I can.
Really?
You hit the point? I haven't been playing Skyrim, no. I'm just a little bored by it.
Really?
I've been finishing up some of the games that have, you know, they're a little bit more of a closed experience, which includes Batman, Rage. Mm-hmm. I've been playing Uncharted 3. I know, obviously, it's another 360 game. But I'm not digging it. Like,
really?
No.
Well, the shooting mechanics are so frustrating. There's two points that I've encountered so far. I'm in the 18th chapter, and there's 22 chapters of the game. And forgive me, Xbox people, but, you know, bear with me. We do play other games here.
Yeah.
I've reached two sections that have just been so frustrating. I feel like the game design, and in particular the AI balance, is all over the place. And the shooting mechanics just – I know people say, oh, well, it's Uncharted. Well, yeah, translation, that sucks. The shooting mechanics in Uncharted just – yeah. It's not fun. It's – So, all that said, I still think the single-player experience is amazing as far as what you get to do in it. So, I've been sort of compelled to want to finish that. But I'm kind of a finisher. Like, I've got these games that I've begun, like I said, with Batman, with Rage, even with the Call of Duty, Battlefield, the Halo campaigns. I've started them. When you get the game, you get it home, you're like, yeah, I'm going to play it. And then another one comes out, another one comes out.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this Thanksgiving break as a time to sort of finish all those smaller beats. And then maybe once things sort of settle down over the Christmas holiday, I'll try and go back and spend a little bit more time with Skyrim. But I don't know.
I almost have the opposite problem.
I'm like, all over the place with Skyrim.
I just can't stop playing it. Yeah. Like, as much as I would love to just move on to something else, I'm like you in a lot of ways. I like to play a game, finish it, and move on to something else. I like to, you know, devote specific periods of time to playing a game and just being done with it when I'm done with it, like, you know, like reading a book. But, you know, with Skyrim, it, for some reason, I just keep wanting to go back to it. I want to keep taking on more missions and, like, looking at more shit and just exploring the world. It's completely compelling to just waste countless hours in that game.
I may be suffering from this itch that is coming from the fact that as I play Skyrim, I know I have these other outstanding games that I haven't finished. And yeah. I know I can go back and complete those in a matter of hours. And that may be changing the way that I feel about Skyrim. Because when I'm playing it, I have that gnawing sensation of I'm not getting anything done because of that same fact. As I'm playing Skyrim, I feel like I could just get lost in it. But then it makes me sad that I'm ignoring all these other games that are a little bit more of a finite experience. So I'm specifically planning my Thanksgiving holiday and the few days that we're going to be AFK, so to speak, to sort of close out and finish those experiences and put them to bed. Because I love doing that. Okay. I ran straight through Deus Ex. Same thing with Gears. Mm-hmm. And I try and do that. I try not to play multiple games at once. That's a rule I try and keep, but I'm never able to.
It's a tough one to keep.
To hold that up.
I think I'm with you, though. I want to finish Modern Warfare and Assassin's Creed most, like, top of the list, I think. And Justin Davis, our mobile editor, made a good point about Skyrim. He was saying, he finally was like, oh, man, I'm just going to finish this main quest line and be done with it. And I was like, why? Like, what? Don't you love it? And he's like, yeah, I did. But then I got to this quest where somebody made me go to a dungeon to fetch them a spoon. And I was just done. It's like you get to a point where you don't even realize like how menial the tasks are people are asking you to do. And then finally, like, it just dawns on you, like, what am I doing with my time?
I don't know, man. I bet that was a really kick-ass spoon.
It was probably a badass whatever dungeon, too. Some, like, crazy demon lord.
One of the greatest spoons ever made.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's about trying to find balance, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's an easy game to get lost in, but I think it's just a matter of discipline and how well you can focus yourself and stick with it. Yeah. One game that I am playing that is pretty low on that kind of focus, though, is Saints Row.
Yes.
Saints Row! I started playing it over the weekend, and I seriously love it. It's a blast to play. It's far and away my favorite game in the series.
Yes.
Thus far. We talked a little bit last week about the paths of the Grand Theft Auto franchise and Saints Row just kind of diverging from each other. And I think that Saints Row the Third is really where you see all those, you know, elements that really make it a unique franchise stand out. And it's just an exceptionally fun game.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been playing it too a lot, Pete. What do you think?
I think it's I was telling you actually as we were walking into this room, I'm starting to feel like the general feeling of wandering around the game world is almost more like Crackdown than Grand Theft Auto. Because you have this whole aspect of these, and you know, you pointed that out too, that earlier Grand Theft Auto's had the whole gang idea a little more, but once you start fighting gangs, like, people just start showing up to fight you and it gets a little bit out of control, and it doesn't really matter where you are or what you're near in the world, these just random battles break out. And it makes it interesting that way, but I can't quite put my finger on what it... Like, I love Saints Row, but there's something about it that still separates it from... And not just because it's crazier. The Grand Theft Auto feeling a sandbox for me. And I'm close, but I can't quite define what it is just yet. Mm-hmm. But like you were saying, like, there's just these missions that are... Even though the story's totally ridiculous, you don't really care. You just want to get to the chaos.
Yeah.
That are totally compelling. Like, you were talking about when you first infiltrate the penthouse and take it over from the other gangs.
Yeah, like, pretty early on, there's a mission where you take over a rival gang's penthouse. I can't remember. It used to be your penthouse, I think. It had something... It had previous ownership with the Saints, I think. But, you know, that's all...
That's the thing. The story is, I mean, whatever.
It doesn't matter. It's all,
is it a,
it's all second string.
Is it the penthouse?
No, you can pee on the floor there. You know?
I know. Gosh.
But anyway, like, you parachute into this building, and all the while, a Kanye West song is playing. I can't remember what it's called.
Power, like, fades in as you're parachuting into this gunfight.
There you go.
It just makes you feel kind of like a badass.
Yeah, you feel, like, awesome, and you've got your brandishing guns, and you're just blowing shit up left and right, and people are running around, and you know, your enemies are taking hostages, and you're just plugging them with a headshot. It's such a cool scene. Yeah. Like, it's so fun. And, you know, completely indicative of the Saints Row experience. I mean, it's just loud, crazy, and intense, but so fun.
I was talking to Mitch, one of the other Xbox team over here at IGN, mm-hmm. who was not in the office, about it yesterday. He's also in love with Saints Row. He was talking about, or I was telling the story about how you kind of go around the game world and you find these gang hideouts where all of a sudden there's 20 enemies you need to kill, and then you get like a tally towards your completion sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I had gone out on an assassination contract at the airport, and the first thing I did was like, ah, yes, airplanes. Let's do this. Let's fly it. And then at the same time I was taking off, this gang hideout appeared at the airport. So I was like, wonder what happens if I basically throw this airplane at the gang hideout. And so I took off. I did kind of a loop-de-loop, turned around, aimed at the gang hideout, made sure the plane was at the right angle, leapt out, parachuted to safety, and the plane just like lightly bounces off of them. And it's kind of like balanced precariously on their heads while they're still just fine. Nobody what? Lost any health. It was totally ridiculous.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, my explosive plan did not work. But there's now a plane on their heads as I shoot them, which is rather entertaining.
It's pretty awesome.
We need a screen cap.
I know. But so then I was thinking, wait, do environmental aspects really not damage the pedestrians and enemies in the world? But then I was playing another mission, and I threw a grenade out a car window. It landed behind a lamppost. It blew the lamppost up, which shot across the street, hitting a guy in the head that, like, knocked him into the sky. It was insane. That awesome. Guy died. I was
that
laughing.
That guy died.
That guy died.
I imagine Volition may have turned off the ability to damage things with airplanes. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's possible.
You can't fly airplanes into buildings anymore these days. It's just not cool.
Yeah. No.
Stuff happened.
Indeed.
But the game is beautiful as far as chaos goes.
Oh, absolutely. Such an awesome, awesome game. Have you had a chance to play that one much, Casey?
Only in the office. Yeah, and it was just random rampaging, so I haven't really experienced anything from the story.
Yeah.
It's in my pile.
Yep.
It's in the heap.
So many games.
It's funny, as far as the pile goes, like, I was playing Skyrim, of course, like we've been saying. But I was like, okay, let's get away from this. Let's just get into Modern Warfare, try and beat it in a few hours. And I got to the part in Paris where you're in going through the catacombs and the sewers underneath. And so it looks like a dungeon when you're playing it. And in the back of my head, I'm just thinking, loot that terrorist, pickpocket this guy. I'm like, what? Shit, I'm getting worlds twisted here.
That would be the game right there. Call of Duty Dragons.
Call of Duty Dragons.
Oh my god.
A medieval Call of Duty.
Or how about Call of Duty Zombie Dragons?
Zombie Dragons? Wow. It'd be awesome.
It would be medieval Call of Duty, but you would still have your PP90 or whatever your guns are. You could come in there. It would be Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So there'd be two colons. Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Dragons.
What about an AC-130 versus?
See, it would be a gunship. It would be a gunship mission, but you'd be on top of a dragon. You'd decide where to fire fireballs.
All right,
that'd be amazing.
Come on,
dude,
tell me that wouldn't
Treyarch,
be.
Treyarch, start I'm taking notes.
Taking notes. Write that down.
Treyarch right and Bethesda present. Queen. That was the Modern Warfare sound.
It was.
Oh jeez.
The night vision. Is that what that is?
Oh yeah. The
Also, the sound double of the photographs in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre trailers.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Never mind. Anyways.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, which
getting
is
getting random.
Terrifying. All right. Yeah, guys. Great games. So let's talk about some Black Friday deals, because that is also coming up right after Thanksgiving.
Is it just me, or is this the first year that all these stores are opening at midnight? Didn't it used to be like a 4 or 5 a.m. thing? Like, are they just bring it?
They've been getting progressively
back
earlier.
Sooner it's going to start in like October.
Yeah, Black Friday starts 3 weeks early next year.
I think all these retailers are just trying to be competitive, because typically, like Amazon and other online retailers put their deals up at like midnight.
Yeah.
Sometimes even
kind of makes
the
sense.
Night
like,
before.
Eat a giant dinner, stay up a little later, and then go to the store rather than.
See, when I eat a giant dinner, I find it exceptionally difficult
to
stay awake.
Instead of people getting trampled, people are going to get stuck in doorways.
Let's remember, in America, the Thanksgiving tradition typically is dinner is served at like noon.
That's true.
Or 1, and so then you've already sort of had the chance to the tryptophan work through your system. You've already watched some football. You've already played some Xbox, whatever it is. Then around midnight, you've had a couple drinks in you, and you're ready to go,
ready to go shopping.
Go find some deals.
Spend some money.
Buy some shit.
Trample some neighbors to get that TV.
Get out of my way. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of the awesome deals. We have a Black Friday wiki that just went live today.
That's right.
As a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Put together by our awesome guides team and our very own Andrew Goldfarb.
Yeah.
Yep. It's on the front page of IGN, or it will be.
Yeah. Absolutely, check it out. There's some sweet deals. We kind of went through and found some of the bigger ones that we were most excited for. Target has Forza 4 for $27.
That's a pretty new game.
It's a great deal. It's like a brand new game. And it just came out
on top of that. Their next tier of they have Battlefield 3 and Gears of War 3 for $37.
Oh, yeah. But Peter, I've got that beat. Walmart has Gears of War 3, Battlefield 3, and Batman Arkham City for $28.
Oh, 28?
Can you believe that? $28? Those games just came out.
That's awesome.
I mean, Gears came out in September, but Battlefield 3?
Yeah.
And brand new. Batman, hello?
Yeah.
Two no-brainers.
Also, Dance Central 2, which literally just came out, it's $15.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're a Kinect person and you're looking for a new groove game, that's on the cheap.
For sure. Yeah, and if you haven't gotten into the Gears of War franchise up till this point, you're an Xbox 360 gamer, Best Buy is going to have the Gears of War triple pack for $8.
Yeah.
$7.99.
Not to be confused, because it sounds very much like you should get the whole trilogy in that, but right. it's actually Gears 1, Gears 2, and the Gears 2 map pack.
Correct.
Right.
But still
awesome.
Freaking amazing.
Totally worth it.
At $8.
Best Buy also has something noteworthy.
AC Revelations, Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
For $35.
That's right. It's $15 off. I mean, that game just came out.
Yeah. Just came out last week.
Yeah.
Also, we were just talking about this Deus Ex they have for $29, which Deus Ex is fantastic. If this is one of these games that came out while you're on summer break or whatever you're doing, you missed it, you should play Deus Ex.
And
for $30, you can't beat that.
Dirt 3 at Best Buy for $14.99. Awesome racing game.
Yeah.
I recommend it to everybody.
Fantastic.
And we were talking about Dark Horse Under the Radar games last week. Kmart has Enslaved for $9.99.
Thank you for pointing that out. $10. Yeah. Hello. Also, if you're a fan of Skylanders Spyro's Adventure, or if you've got kids, the starter pack for that, which comes with a pedestal that you have to plug in, that you then put your figurines that are then warped into the game and are your playable avatars, that whole starter pack is typically $80. And Kmart has that on sale, too, for $49.99. For $50. It's $20 off.
Nice.
Or $30 off. Sorry, I can't add. also, we were just talking about one of our favorite games of the year, Rayman Origins. It's on sale at GameStop for $30.
Man.
So is Portal 2.
So is Rage.
Yeah.
Basically, and Sonic Generations as
well.
Every
good game this year is on sale for at least, you know, $15-$20 off.
It's crazy, exactly. Kids. But what does it mean? It means you have to get up at midnight and you have to go be crazy. Because here's the thing, and most people who are savvy to the whole Black Friday shopping thing know this, but you know, we're outlining all of these specials. A lot of these will be sort of first come, first serve, and you can go to Kmart and say, "Where's my copy of Enslaved?" And they said, "Ha ha, we had 3 on sale across the entire country." Like, it got you into the store, and those are the loss leaders. But those are the deals, and there's a lot more. And we have a ton of stuff detailed, too, as far as TVs, tablets, all sorts of gear, gaming controllers, all that kind of stuff, consoles. Mm-hmm. And that's all in the Black Friday wiki that's on IGN right now.
Definitely. So go check it out. Scope all the deals that are coming down.
Save cash.
Save cash and game your ass off.
Add to your to-do pile of games to beat.
Sir, do you want to play Cash Doll?
Speaking of games... Because that's what we do on this podcast.
What?
Pete, you saw Spec Ops The Line.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
It's been off the grid for 18 months. They haven't shown it since E3 2010.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So now, refresh us, because to me, when I hear Spec Ops The Line, that sounds incredibly generic.
That is the stupidest name.
I didn't write this in the preview, but I think that's the worst thing it has going for it, its name. It's so forgettable.
Just terrible.
It sounds
terrible.
Bargain bin. It sounds like... It was like, what was that game that came out? Frontlines, Fuel of War, whatever?
Frontlines, Section 8, kind of like these throwaway military terms.
Combat, Guns of Victory.
We should do a class for these poor publishers. How to name a game in such a way that you won't bore the audience to tears.
And I asked, that was when I was talking to the producers, I was like, why did you call it Spec Ops? And at Spec Ops, they've used the name, I think 2K owned the license. It was on some old PSP game or something from years ago.
No, it's actually a franchise.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that it's fucking boring.
The reason they're using it is because it immediately makes you realize that this is a military shooter. Their thinking is that by putting that name on there, the consumer is thinking military shooter.
Well, then look at the fucking graphic on the box. That'll show you it's a military shooter, won't it?
Like, I think they're not gonna have guys playing bridge. Drop Spec Ops, call it The Line. Start a new IP. Yeah. Start something interesting. Yeah. Because the preview, and I was checking out what some other people thought of it this morning, too, because curious to see, you know. It's kind of interesting to see people's different takes on things. But it seems like the general consensus is that, like, okay, the gameplay's solid. It's not reinventing the wheel for third-person shooters. You know, you go into cover, you shoot guys in the head, you run around, do this stuff. But it's a really dark story, and it's rare that a story kind of piques your interest in a short, you know, 90-minute demo of gameplay.
Right.
Most of the time, you're like, oh, that new mechanic was fun, that was totally cool. But you're not often like, oh, I really want to know how this ends sort of thing. But this actually does a good job of it, and it makes you think about what you're doing, even if it's, like, you know, familiar mechanics and things you've done before. It's the setting, like this really cool sandstorm-ridden Dubai that has a very cool visual style. And it's a story where they put these moral kind of choices in front of you that are only moral because it's not like a black and white, good and bad sort of thing. It's like, how are you going to deal with this situation? And the repercussions aren't in the game. It's kind of like how you feel about it. And I was noticing some of the readers of the preview this morning were saying, well, it's just a video game. Like, it's just pixels. You're dealing with that. But at the same time, if you really are kind of considering what you're doing, and the game, you know, by telling a serious story and making it kind of this believable journey into darkness, does make you think more about it than you would otherwise. So you're really wondering, like, who do I shoot and why? Because you don't know what's going to happen based on your choice. And it was only after that I shot one of the... I was put in a situation where I had to execute one of two... Or I was supposed to execute one of two people. Because basically this voice on a loudspeaker told me that these snipers were going to kill them if I didn't do it. Both of them. So I finally, you know, I picked one and did it. And then moved on and got into a whole nother fight. And then later I realized that you don't have to kill anyone. You could have run on. You could have found the snipers, attacked them. You could have shot the ropes they were hanging from. There's all these sort of different ways around it. But they just present a situation and you have to deal with it, which I found to be the most fascinating part of the demo.
So what's the line?
You're crossing over the line into dark territory. I think it's
the
like
line.
It's quite literally like that kind of thematic, like, has this army brigade crossed the line? Find out this spring.
Find out in the line. Have they crossed the line?
Are you willing to cross the line?
Watch the line to find out if the line's been crossed in the line. Draw within the lines.
Oh, well, it sounds fun. They need to change that name, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much the story is like Heart of Darkness, Joseph Conrad style, like this military guy kind of crazy, holed up in his, you know, deep rooted base.
Yeah.
The main characters, or the guy that went missing in Dubai, who went off the grid, his name is actually Joseph Conrad. Huh. Or not Joseph, John Conrad. But Conrad with a K, so it's definitely not the supposed to make you think of the guy who wrote Heart of Darkness.
Not the guy from Terminator.
Not the guy. I was going to say, was there any Guns N' Roses in the preview?
Are you said a Conrad?
Joseph Conrad in the line.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, as far as the preview goes, like,
can we please write an article with like five better and then five much worse titles for Spec Ops: The Line?
That's actually a pretty funny feature.
Yeah, sure.
Listen up, 2K Games.
You're
on notice.
I'm completely underwhelmed. Although I have to say, reading about it in the preview, it sounds interesting. It just
exactly.
I think they're shooting themselves in the foot.
I think it's a very refreshing take.
That's a tough part because, you know, it was, as we usually do, it's a controlled demo. You see very specific parts of the game. So as much as I'm impressed by this section I played, it's, you know, we're not going to know how well that plays out for the whole game until we can play the whole game. But it's something to definitely put on your radar, even if you forget the name every time you try to think of what that game is called.
That name definitely crossed the line. My God.
Awesome. So, guys, let's move on. Today, there was a news report that went out from our guys in the UK about millions of dollars stolen from Xbox Live users in some phishing scheme. Now, it should be noted that this wasn't a hack.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no data taken from Xbox Live itself. So if anyone is worried about that, don't be. This was just a completely... What it was is the website claimed to be offering free Microsoft points and just said, hey, submit us some banking info and some personal details, which you should never ever give out.
Why? I thought it's totally legit if I could get free Microsoft points. Yeah. They said just put in your SS number. I don't even know what that is. There's not going to be Social Security in 15 years, Steven. I thought free Microsoft. No, that's
not so much. Not
should
so
I
much.
Not have put my... What?
No.
I gotta go. I gotta go change some passwords.
You crossed the line.
That is the line. That is the Spec Ops line.
What does this mean for us?
Gamers in 35 countries have been affected. It doesn't really mean anything to us. I mean, unless you've gone through this website and submitted personal information, which, as I said before, you should never, ever do, then you shouldn't be affected by this.
So really what this was a means to try and get information from people under the idea that you could get free Microsoft points. So this had nothing to do with Xbox Live.
No.
This was just targeted people. It could have been anything. It could have said, here, sign up here on this website and give us your bank information and your date of birth and your mom's maiden name and you can get
a free pair of shoes.
Free Starbucks cards or something.
Yeah. It could have been. It literally could have been.
So it had nothing to do with Xbox Live. So for anybody, and part of the reason why we're not even reporting on this a little bit more deeply is it's very clearly not the same thing as, for instance, what happened with PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Not too long ago. So.
But yeah, I mean, just, you know, generally, don't give out your personal information and all that kind of shit to websites that you don't know or you don't trust.
Yeah. Because that would be crossing the line. The line. The line was crossed. Somebody crossed that line.
All right, guys. Time to move on to email.
Oh, wow. We should say real quick, we got a date, though. Well, we're still on news. We got a date for the dashboard update.
Oh, that's right.
December 6th.
Tell us all about that. Pete, you wrote the news story this morning.
I did. Major Nelson announced that it is confirmed December 6th we are getting the dashboard update, though, as of December 6th, that does not necessarily mean we get all the HBO Go and all the other services. Just what it's kicking off with is cloud storage, which I think is awesome. I'm looking forward to. Bing. So you can Bing the search stuff.
Bing.
Bing is terrible.
Bing sucks.
Yeah, but it's coming to your living room now.
I don't give a fuck.
new family settings. If you guys have seen Xbox.com lately, they have that whole new beacon thing. So you can invite friends to play or play this. That's coming to the dashboard too. And of course, the whole visual changes, where it's all now in squares and who not.
Yeah, December 6th.
And who not?
Who not?
You know, I remember they...
Squares and who not.
They initially said it was going to be this weekend that these updates were going to happen. I mean, I guess that's what they were shooting for.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem like they made it. I wonder if something maybe happened during the beta program, or the preview program, I guess, is what it would be called, for the update, that they needed to change quickly. But December 6th, that's the day.
That's the day after my wife's birthday.
Yay.
There's another big update coming for fans of Skyscram. That's next week, right? The patch, the post-Thanksgiving patch, and that's supposed to fix a number of stuff.
Yep.
Number of issues.
I believe so.
It's supposed to fix a number of stuff, Steven.
Number of stuff.
Also,
did we report on that last week? I can't remember if we did.
Yeah.
So, Skyscram patch?
There's a story.
I mean in the podcast.
For all of
our lovely listeners.
Also, Battlefield 3 got patched on PC, and they've announced that the console version of the patch is coming soon.
Sweet.
They should have announced when, though, because by not doing that, they just crossed the line.
When will the Back to Karkakan DLC be crossing the line?
They've only said December. So soon.
Still.
It's right around the corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
A week after PS3, right?
Yes, for Xbox.
And one
that crosses the line.
One more final plug, actually. Coming up very soon, we will begin our Best of 2011
it's
gonna be big.
Awards, which you will start seeing all over IGN.
What a good year.
It's been an amazing year.
It's crazy year.
I mean, just this week we ran a story about the...
beat that one to death.
Basically asking, was this the biggest fall season? In gaming, we awarded a lot of very high scores to some really good games, despite shitty mechanics in one of them that I'm not going to mention, Uncharted 3. Anyways, I'm not going to cross the line here. So let's move on.
Email time. All right, this one comes from TMurph07.
Email!
He says, do you want to see Rare continue what they've been doing for Microsoft or go back to the...
Sorry, keep going.
Go back to the kind of games they made in the past. My opinion is to stop saying MS ruined Rare. Cameo, Elements of Power, Perfect Dark Zero, and Viva Pinata. The best of those was Viva Pinata. Yep. Those were all Rare games based on Rare's ideas. They didn't follow that up until 3 years later with Banjo, Nuts and Bolts. Their games didn't evolve enough or take advantage of the new technology. After the founders left the company to pursue other interests, engineering and land development, shortly after Banjo's release, MS switched them to help develop Avatars and Kinect games, and frankly, they've done a better job with that than developing core games for this generation. Well, Casey, you feel very, very strongly about this Rare situation, so...
Well, here's the thing. I think that we're all very outspoken Rare fans. Mm-hmm. I think the real question is not do we want to see Rare continue what they've been doing for Microsoft, but what do we want to see Microsoft do with Rare? And we've said this many times before, but we'll just continue to say it loud and proud again. We think that Microsoft should plunder the rich depths of the back catalog that is Rare. And, I mean, it would be so many great games. I mean, we would love to see just the games themselves get reissued on Xbox Live with remakes, everything from Killer Instinct to Battletoads to Jet Force Gemini, Blast Corps. I mean, so many different games. Amazing, amazing, amazing games. That said, I think it would be incredible to put Rare on, you know, updates, sequels, remakes of some of those games and see what they could come up with. I'm not going to hack on Viva Pinata, Perfect Dark Zero, and certainly Cameo were not some of my favorite games. One was better than the other, let's say that. But, you know, I think they've done a fine job with the Avatars. I think it's it's arguable how much Avatars have actually lent to the experience that is Xbox. I mean, they're there, but I don't ever log into Xbox and think, oh, God, there's my Avatar. Thank God we have those.
You're just upset because they can't get the beard right.
This is true. They can't. You know what? You can't. There's no giant goatee, and you can't really match a goatee with sideburns, and I have both. So that is a problem.
Rare, you're on notice.
Rare. Get your shit together and give me a blast core.
No, I totally agree with you. I think there's a rich back catalog for Rare, and, you know, I mean, I think it would, at the very least, be beneficial to everyone if they put out a lot of those games onto Xbox Live Arcade. I would love to see an HD-ified version of Battletoads. I think that is a long time coming.
But, like, a semi-balanced version. Battletoads is so excruciatingly difficult. How about this? I mean,
but here's the thing with that, though, Casey, is you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
I know.
People are going to be pissed off if you change anything about that game gameplay-wise. But, you know, you put it up.
Just the third level, okay. Just the hover, whatever it is.
The bikes.
Yes.
Or not the bikes. They're not bikes. What are they?
No, they're like hover bikes.
Well, they're not bikes, though. They're
they
look like snowmobiles, kind of, almost.
That's what they were. They're hover snow frog.
I never had a big problem with that level. It was the snake pit that was just goddamn impossible.
I was going to say it. Like, Battletoads was a great mix and match franchise. Mm-hmm. I loved Battletoads versus Double Dragon. How about we get Battletoads versus Darkman? Would that work?
We
could get Liam Neeson.
I'm sold.
Actually, let's just do anything with Darkman.
Liam Neeson can do all the voices.
Bring back Darkman.
He can do Darkman and Rash, Pimple, and Zitz. That's right. Whoa. I named all three of the Battletoads.
That was good. Man.
Amazing.
So anyways, that's my take. And I'm not going to, you know, slander Rare's name, because I think we're all big Rare fans. If you guys haven't noticed that, Unlocked listeners,
we talk about it most weeks.
Yeah. We do. It always comes back to Rare. And you know what's funny is they're kind of one of those underappreciated developers. I mean, so many games that they put out, particularly in the Nintendo 64 era, were just so amazing that, you know, and we love them with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And even if their primaries have gone out to become land barons, we still think that they have a little life in them yet.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I mean, they absolutely do. I mean, look at the strength of their name. I mean, they haven't really been, I mean, let's be honest, they haven't been extremely relevant in the gaming space for quite a few years now. But people are still clamoring for them. Like, when are you going to make your next huge game? When are you going to make your next core game? Where's Killer Instinct 3? Where's more Battletoads?
And here's the thing. Like, help me out here. I mean, are we just wrong? I mean, is there just a small contingency that loves these games? Because people that I talk to, when we bring up these games, they're usually in agreement. But I wonder if this is like a really niche thing. I mean, because
I don't know.
It just seems like such an easy thing. Microsoft, you own the. I mean, Microsoft doesn't own 16 development studios. They own a handful, and this would just be such an easy game. gimme, especially, you know, to just take that content and move it over to Xbox Live.
If they are in the minority, though, it's a loud minority, because a lot of people, it sounds like a lot of people have been clamoring for these games.
It does sound like
so. We'll see. Hopefully, our cries will not go unanswered.
But very good question, T-Murph 07.
T-Murph. Okay, guys. Nick asks, hey, guys, I was listening to you talk about the next generation Xbox on your podcast. Assuming the console has a bump in performance, that will probably generate more heat. Do you think they will be able to keep the fan noise down, unlike the original 360? Also, as games are taking up more space, do you see the next console having Blu-ray as the only remaining high-capacity format, or perhaps using some proprietary high-capacity format of Microsoft's design? Or will they stick with DVD? What are your thoughts?
I think they're starting to get a handle on this heat issue.
Yeah.
Just because, like, the classic Xbox down to the Slim is a huge difference.
Right.
Like, the Slims obviously still blast out a decent amount of heat, but I think, you know, it's not going to be an issue. I don't think we're going to see a whole new generation of red rings coming out the gate. I think they hopefully have learned their lesson in that regard. As far as storage capacity, I think they have to either upgrade or do what we were talking about too, and kind of go to the cloud and make everything downloadable.
Which they already are.
Yeah.
I see this being, you know, some of their executives have already even gone on record saying that, or at least starting to talk about the cloud system. I see the discs themselves moving out. And I mean, it would just be such a huge helping of crow that Microsoft would have to eat to incorporate Blu-ray into their tech.
Oh, for sure.
You know, given last generation's battle between HD, DVD, and Blu-ray. So, I mean, would it be great, and would it make sense? To be able to offer a system as well to compete just sheerly in that side of the market to say, hey, this is a Blu-ray player as well as a gaming system. I think that would be a huge win. And I don't know if Microsoft's ready to take that step.
I don't think so.
If they feel like the consumers have forgotten the battle that was waged and won by Sony. So, because to include it, even though it would be a huge consumer service, you know, is in large measure sort of admitting some sort of failure or loss.
Well, here's the thing about that. Sony won the physical media war in terms of that, but I think Microsoft has made significant headway in the digital distribution side of things. Watching videos and movies through the Xbox Marketplace is, you know, a snap, and that's something that they've really been putting through in their, you know, in their marketing and all the stuff that they've really been talking about, is just trying to push the idea of digital distribution for movies as opposed to any kind of physical format, be it Blu-ray or otherwise. And I think that, you know, that said, that's kind of their guns that they're going to be sticking to when it comes to this next generation of hardware.
Yeah, I see this not being a battle that they're going to need to fight, just given the fact that things are moving in this direction. And even if there's a small little drop-off, I anticipate within the next 5 years we're going to start seeing the out-phasing of Blu-rays, dare I say, in the same way that we saw DVDs start going out. When people just have these, you know, streaming solutions where they don't have to mess with going to Blockbuster, going to Redbox, buying something from Amazon. And there probably will continue, a market will probably continue to be served with, you know, hard retail physical copies of media because people just like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I.e. Stephen Hopper, Hoarder, Central.
I love stuff.
Go over to Stephen's
stuff.
Go over to Shopper's house, and he has so much shit all over his house. He has. You even have one of those.
My house is very clean.
No. I'm not talking. Okay, you're right. That sounded like your house is messy. What I'm saying is he has bookcases of games and movies and books, and it's not just the stuff, it's the boxes. Like, you keep all the collector's edition boxes and the...
Why the fuck not? It's called a collector's edition, not a throw this shit away edition.
But it's the box.
Who gives it? Who fucking cares? I paid for that box.
And I'm not talking like the steel book or the you know Pandora's box. Like, he'll keep the box that Pandora's box came in.
Like, you're jealous of that styrofoam that has Skyrim imprinted it on Colin Campbell's desk?
I'm not gonna lie, that looks pretty fucking sweet.
Oh my god. So at any rate, for the people out there like you, I'm sure they'll continue to serve that market, which will in turn keep some of the brick and mortars still open and happy.
Oh, sure. And also to talk on your topic of will the new console generate more heat? Well, they've been streamlining chipsets in systems for a long time now, and I think that's a trend that we're going to start to see decline. I think that even with more processing power, there's been a really big focus from these chipset manufacturers to, you know, keep things cool, keep things power efficient. You know, with the whole big switch to, or the big focus rather on green energy these days, people are looking for ways to not only make things run better and be smaller, but also have a smaller carbon footprint and consume less energy. And with less energy consumption comes, you know, less heat generated.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that overheating is going to be quite so big an issue with, you know, the upcoming consoles. So.
All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Deal with that.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
What'd you cover?
Josh Gallegos says, now that Activision has released the definitive epitome of Call of Duty as we know it in Modern Warfare 3, what direction would you like to see the series take now? Should they stay on the tried and true course or experiment with the unexplored? Also, what do you guys think about the theory that Microsoft will make Xbox Live free when the 720 comes out? Do you think it's plausible? Is it something Microsoft should even consider?
Well, okay, so first of all, let's work backwards here. Yeah. So yeah. I don't see Microsoft making Xbox Live free anytime.
No.
They've already set a precedence that people will pay the annual subscription to have access to all the features. And I think most gamers agree that the services that Xbox Live offer are worthwhile.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And you're paying for a very premium service, and you it's great. I mean, I wouldn't not want to pay for Xbox Live if I had to... there's something that I had to cut, you know, from my spending... I don't think I would drop Xbox Live.
No. And there's so many things that I think Xbox Live actually does that the majority of people may not even use. Like, for instance, creating a party and watching a movie together or, you know, all sorts of different stuff. I think the thing that is probably the most favorite and most used is the messaging and then the in-game chat. And being able to, you know, talk to you while I'm playing Batman and you're playing Skyrim, we can have a conversation, and you just can't do that on PSN and among other things. And so, I don't see them, now that they have the audience trained and the consumers are saying, oh yeah, I'll pay $60 for a year, why would they just suddenly make it free? That wouldn't make any sense.
Well, if they were to make one element of Xbox Live gold free, like if they were to downgrade something to silver, what do you think that would be? Do you think that they would finally open it up and allow online gaming for silver accounts?
No, because I think, like you're saying, that's the most popular feature.
Yeah, well, obviously, the most popular feature is what we don't even think about, which is just going online and playing.
Yeah.
And then it's communicating. So that's their bread and butter.
Okay.
I don't know what would be dropped. Maybe more access to sales and arcade titles earlier. Or, you know, normal on time. I don't know if they stagger them as much as they used to, though. Because I think for a while there, they'd come out, be available for gold members first, and then finally show up later for silver. Yeah.
I think they've learned their lesson that it's bad to keep people from wanting to throw their money at you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if people are saying, hey, I may not pay $60 a year, but I'm going to pay money to download content, I'm sure Microsoft has said, oh, let's just let them do that.
Yeah.
And give us their money. If we change that, we might be crossing the line.
You have crossed the line. The line.
So the first part of the question, though, is... Call of Duty.
Definitive epitome of Call of Duty.
Epitome, the epitome. Where are we going to see Call of Duty go next? What do you think, guys?
I think when you sell 6.5 million copies in 24 hours, you don't change a damn thing. Until they see those numbers go down, we're going to get the tried and true every year.
It's like that old adage, you know, what would you do for $1 million? Well, I would probably do the least amount I had to do. And still be guaranteed $1 million.
Right.
So, I mean, they're... I guess that sounds cynical, but I don't think they're going to fix much, or change much, rather. They're going to keep building on the experience. I mean, you know, this... It's a huge franchise, and it's really... It really has to stay relevant in order to stay as big as it is.
Yeah.
Now, I will offer that they've created a... sort of a pattern where one year Infinity Ward puts out the sort of the high profile modern brand, which is Modern Warfare, and then Treyarch puts out different versions of sort of different encounters that take place in different time periods.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of fun with that. Treyarch also does all the zombie stuff too. So I would love, if we're just talking about different possibilities that they could be looking at or would, I would love to see the Treyarch one go into a different time period entirely. Like, do you guys remember that game Darkest of Days? I'll stay with me here for a second, okay? I mean, this was published by Phantom EFX, I think was their name. And up to that point, I think all they did was like casino games or like weird, like real deal slots and that kind of shit. And they put out this bargain bin game. I think it was $20 when it shipped. But it was set in the Civil War, and you were a time traveler, and there was all kinds of weird stuff that just didn't work in that game, and it wasn't a great game, but being able to play in the Civil War was awesome, and part of what made it cool was you actually had modern weapons. You know, you just run in, and people had their, you know, their front-loading, you know, what are those rifles called?
Like the muskets?
Muskets, yeah. You know, with giant bayonets. And you had like an Uzi or an M16 or whatever. I don't know. So, but it you know, it would be interesting to see what would happen if Treyarch took the fight to World War I or to Civil War, the Revolutionary War. I mean, that's a lot of stuff that we haven't explored in this generation, if ever, in a first-person shooter. I mean, those types of games have been given some treatment with, you know, in the real-time strategy genre with Age of Empires and so on and so forth. But
what if they tried like a future shooter?
Like Battlefield 2142. What was that one called?
2142.
Yeah. I mean, they
what
could.
What if they went that way with it? Went kind of balls of the wall.
Like with lasers and jetpacks?
Yeah, why not?
Halo? What?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of different things that they could do. Treyarch seems to me the developer that's sort of taking the past route, and then Infinity Ward is sort of pushing it forward with whatever's happening in the present or the
near
future.
We'll get in 2 years another Modern Warfare. Oh, I think it'll keep going.
Absolutely.
They're not going to jump ship now.
To your point, I mean, this is their biggest launch ever. We don't have all the final data yet as far as, you know, looking back over the entire fall season to see what it pulls in. But yeah, I think next year we're going to see a Treyarch game. And 2013, you know, pending we all don't die in the Mayan apocalypse, we will see Modern Warfare 4.
Cool.
And Soap will or will not be in it.
Soap McTavish.
Did you beat the campaign already?
I did not, so that's why I said that.
Okay. I gotta say, like,
don't spoil it.
I'm not spoiling anything. Okay, I'm just saying, for as crazy and silly as the story is, they make it pretty damn exciting.
Yeah.
Like, you're always like, holy shit, the world's gonna end if I don't shoot 800 more guys just running to this level. But it basically, like, it grabs you by the collar and just keeps shaking you the whole time.
Well, I mean, they really set the pace in the first Modern Warfare when that nuke goes off.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a huge moment. And they're like, oh, shit, what do we do now? Let's just keep doing nukes or nuke-like events.
We need this. Can we make this more nukish?
Yeah. Can I get some nuke
Nucality.
In this level?
Add some nuke.
Excellent. All right, guys, next question comes from Jeff from Canada.
Because there's only one Jeff in Canada.
Only one. This is the Jeff.
When I meet Canadians, I say, hey, do you know Jeff?
More often than not, they're like, yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we know
Everyone knows Jeff.
They're like, dude.
He's the Jeff.
What up, Jeff?
Yo, Jeff.
All right.
Just writing in response to your email asking about game endings.
Email!
I just wanted to mention Metal Gear Solid 3's ending. I won't spoil, but that is my absolute favorite ending, period. Also, the 14 or so Metal Gear Solid 4 endings were pretty rad.
That's wrong. They sucked.
There were 14 or so, but they were,
they were terrible.
Anyway. It was also one of the few moments in gaming that almost brought me to tears. And I actually used the song in the credits, Way to Fall, Star Sailor, as my groom/mother dance at my wedding.
Mm.
Oh, that's nice.
Nerd.
are you trolling my podcast right now, Lynch? What the fuck, man?
I had a Star Wars song at my wedding, so takes one to know one.
Cute. Anyway, I just wanted to ask you two short questions as an extension of the original. A, have you ever been brought to tears by a game? And B, has anything from a game ever been incorporated into an important moment/event in your life? There you go.
I don't know if I've been brought to tears. I kind of welled up a little bit during the ending of the first BioShock. The first time I played it, I did not harvest anything from the little sisters, and So that ending that you get, you sort of once you escape Rapture and you sort of see this cutscene and the girls grow up and they sort of are looking, or they look to you sort of as a father figure, and the cutscene ends with you what appears to be on your deathbed and the hands of all these grown what must be little sisters come, you know, and hold your hand. And when I played that, I was still sort of a young parent at the time, and I thought it was a little moving.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that inspired me to not harvest Adam from my children. So it did carry over into real life.
To this
life
day.
Lessons. I thought, you know, should I jab a giant needle into my daughter? I'm not going to do it.
Just don't even try.
Not going to cross the line.
Sorry. How about you, Pete?
Nothing that really stands out. I don't think so. I did have some Super Mario Brothers 3 underwear when I was a kid, though. So I brought that over into real life.
Mm. Yeah. I had the Super Mario Brothers jammies.
Nice.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty rad.
I've played games that have brought me to tears for other reasons, like Bullet Witch, because it was so fucking awful. Does that count?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. It's a very visceral, emotional response that it pulled from you.
Fusion Frenzy.
Awesome. I don't think I've ever been brought to tears by a game. I've had, like, you know, a lump in my throat at some key moments. The Final Fantasy series, I mean, there have been a couple moments in there that I've just been like, oh, that's sad.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I'm kind of like, and then I was bummed out. Like, the end of 10, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I thought that was a really poignant moment for the series. And I, for the longest time, I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk about a PS2 game. Apologies, everyone. Full disclaimer, this is a PS2 reference.
What?
Yeah, it took me the longest time to actually give a shit about 10. Like, you know, I got really far, probably about a good 4/5 of the way through the actual game, just, you know, playing it casually and not really caring. But once I got to that last home stretch, I really started focusing on it. And I probably put, at that point, I think I may have had like 30 or 35 hours. I easily put on another 40.
Wow.
Just dicking around and getting all the extra,
leveling
you know,
up.
Leveling up, getting extra weapons and stuff, and finding all the cool unlockable shit. And then, you know, by the time that ending rolled around, I was like, wow, that was great. And the same thing with 7. I mean, well, 7 I played religiously and eventually beat after putting, you know, roughly the same amount of time, 70 to 80 hours into it.
It's a long game.
Pretty long game, yeah. But yeah, I, by the time that ending rolled around, I mean, just the idea of playing a game for that extension, for that much of a period of time, for like 70 or 80 hours, and then being done with it and seeing that closure. Like, I mean, it can be, you know, pretty emotional experience.
I've avoided closure. Like, I've gotten to where I know it's the final dungeon, and I just walked away. It's like, it's almost a subconscious thing. I did that to Final Fantasy 9. I did that to Xenogears.
Wow.
And I just feel like that's happened to me on multiple occasions. Or for whatever reason, I just obsessed over it. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is the end?
Did you ever go back and finish them?
No.
So is it comforting to know that at any given time, if you still have your memory card or your save files or whatever it is, that you could go back and maybe complete that?
It kind of is, actually. And I know, like, I think Xenogears came out a few months ago on PSN. I've been tempted. I know I don't have the saves anymore. And I know it's been long enough that I forgot a lot of what happened. So it would be pretty much a fresh experience to me. Mm-hmm. I should probably just sit down and do it.
What was I so afraid of?
Do it. I will come back in 2 months and be like, Xenogears made me cry. I just lost it.
Oh, no. All right, guys. Here's one from Eugene. Hey, guys. I have a question. Have you ever wondered how many people got dragon blood in them? Who was the first to go, homeboy just fucked a dragon? High five.
High five. Homeboy just fucked a dragon.
You think it will ever be revealed?
And this is obviously in reference to Skyrim and the Dragonborn. What a great question.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, you didn't get that.
I didn't get that.
Shut up. But yeah, I mean, so we're just sort of given kind of at face value, oh, you are the Dragonborn. You've got dragon blood. Well, yeah, thank you, Eugene. Like, how the fuck did you get dragon blood? Like, was this...
Wait, was that Sean Connery in Dragonheart?
I don't know.
I am the last one.
So the first human, you know, he's... checks, make sure that he's alone. He finds a dragon to get private. And then all of a sudden he finishes up, you know, to create the first Dragonborn. Then out of the sky, somebody's just like, Dova, fucker!
Yeah, either you know? Or maybe it was just like a transfusion gone wrong. You're like, oh, shit, we put dragon blood in here. Whoops.
I like to think it was, you know, the former.
Homeboy just fucked a dragon.
Yeah, homeboy just fucked a dragon. You know, like put, you on, know, put on some Marvin Gaye music.
And... The Greybeards, they know what's going on with the dragons.
Those Nords, those Jarls.
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on. Dragon.
Speaking of dragons... Here's an email from Bahamut S. Dragons.
Oh.
Man, he's got the best name.
That's a good name.
He should like...
This guy should answer the question about where these Dragonborn came from. Right. He has the answer.
Email us back and let us know, because we're drawing blanks. Hey, Locksmiths, quick question about Halo Anniversary. Do you think $40 is a bit expensive for the package? When I heard about it, I expected the game to be $15, $20 at the most, available on XBA like other remakes have been. I don't deny that a lot of work has gone into it, but it feels like Microsoft might be milking it harder than perhaps they should have. Well, Casey, what do you think?
I think the first thing I think of when I wake up in the morning is how to milk things harder. I just love to milk shit, and I want to do it hard.
That's how you get Dragon Ball.
That's actually how Microsoft wakes up in the morning,
milking,
too.
Milking, 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 gonna milk shit harder. So the question is, do we think that the price is fair or expensive? I mean... Yeah. So, 343 Industries oversaw the HDification of Halo Combat Evolved. A lot of that work was done by Saber Interactive, and a lot of the multiplayer work was done by Certain Affinity. Is that entire package worth $40? I mean, I don't know. It's still, to me, it still seems like it's a little high.
Really?
But it's right on the line. Whoops.
It's right on the line.
So I will say this. If they would have shipped it at regular price, people would have been, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually think 40 is fine for it. I mean, here's what you get. You get the multiplayer suite, which is for Halo Reach, included in the package.
Yeah.
If you don't have Reach. But I mean, why wouldn't you have Reach? Which is weird.
But you can buy that a la carte for $15.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So what,
exactly.
So what's the value of the actual campaign is
$25.
Okay.
Is that worth it?
I think it's worth it.
All right.
So I think for an updated version, I mean the campaign itself probably clocks in around 6 to 8 hours. I mean, yeah. not exceptionally long, but you know, a decent enough length
you can play
for
with
a first person shooter.
Co-op.
Yeah, that you can do cooperatively online. You could always do it co-op.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Locally. But no, you can do online co-op. Which
you can
is
do it online. You could milk it online. You could. Sorry. So yeah. So Bahamut. How do you say his name?
Bahamut.
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 $25 for a updated version of Combat Evolved. I think it's fair.
Yeah.
And the reason why I even mentioned who was working on it was the whole notion of how much work was actually put into it by 343. I think How much did they actually do?
Well,
I don't want to talk shit about 343. I love those guys. I know that they're, you know, they're up to their eyeballs in Halo 4. So
they could have just done like a lazy HDified port, you know, that would have looked exactly the same, but just not like complete crap on an HD TV. But they didn't. I mean, they put a lot of work into it. I mean, you know, I reviewed the game and I had a lot of issues with. With some things here and there, as people who read the review would know. But I would still have to say that, you know, I think they did a lot of work on this.
That's fair. Let's leave it at that. Okay. I think it's a fair price. I'd be curious to see if at some point they offer the campaign a la carte as well.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
On or maybe, Xbox Live for games on demand for $25.
Maybe that's what's in store for Halo 2 anniversary. I mean, we don't know.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on Halo 2.
Okay, I won't. I'll move on. Right. Anthony says, frankly, the Kinect functionality is pretty useless in Halo Anniversary, and this will no doubt get incorporated into Halo 4 in some fashion. While I'm unsure of the amount of resources and time it takes to add something like that to the game, what are your thoughts on 343 Industries wasting development time adding Kinect to Halo 4? Why even bother with such a useless feature that could have been done with a headset?
And this brings us to Get Lynched, because I completely feel like what Anthony's basically asking is, was this a waste of time, and why are they wasting their time with this stuff? I completely agree. I feel like the content that was shipped, that was the Halo compatibility with Anniversary, was just sort of tacked on. And I wonder if anyone's even really going to use it in any depth. You guys can talk to this. I've tried it as well. The voice functionality doesn't work. I mean, in the way that you would want it to work.
Yeah, it's not fast enough.
I mean, Halo is a shooter. It's in many ways twitch based, and so it's all about your quick response, especially if you're playing it on anything other than normal. The last thing that you need is to give an input or a command for it to lag.
It's fine for some things, but ultimately it's a gimmick. And for gameplay functions like reloading and throwing grenades, it's just
too slow.
No.
Way too slow.
Now, to his point, I wonder if that same mechanic were built into it to have functionality with your headset, if you would have a quicker response time. I don't know. I think that it didn't need to be done with Kinect. I think it was for novelty, for gimmick, and added in just because. So ultimately, I would love to see things go more in the direction, we said this before, where there would be some sort of interactive HUD that you could slide out Minority Report style and you know, tap the buttons. And I'm mimicking in studio, as I always do, with my hands and moving them around, so which you can't see.
He's actually doing jumping jacks.
I am. That's right, with no pants on. why even bother with such a useless feature? Well, they're Microsoft, and they have Kinect. And I think that it was important for them to try and build that in.
They're trying to tie everything together.
Yeah, and to show some sort of, like, hey, we're all on the same team, and we've got this piece of tech. And hear me, I'm not down on Kinect. I just think that we've yet to see, in terms of shooters, some sort of very relevant and must-have functionality. Like, all this stuff right now is just throwaway. So until they actually do something that is like, oh, fuck, the game wouldn't have been the same without it, you can get lynched.
Yeah. Get lynched, indeed. Bam. All right, guys. Last thing, or rather one of the last things we've got here, is from Nina. It's a Mary Boff Kill.
Keep sending these in.
Yeah, we love these. They're a good time. They're a lot of fun. So just send them in. We'll do them on the air. It's great. We have a lot of good time with them. But anyway, Nina's MBK is Burnout, Forza, or Need for Speed. Peter, go.
Mary Forza, Boff Burnout, Kill Need for Speed.
All right. Go for it.
Same exact thing.
Yeah.
Forza is consistent and reliable. Burnout is so goddamn sexy.
Yeah.
And Need for Speed is so goddamn underwhelming. At least this year.
It's so bad. It's up and down.
Yeah. You know? It's all over the place. So, you know, just give it back to Criterion, guys. Until that, you can just get rid of it.
I think this decision is unanimous.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you 100%.
I would love a new Burnout game.
I just
a real one, not Burnout Crash, a real Burnout game.
Well, like Hot Pursuit last year was almost a new...
Almost, yeah.
Almost. It was almost. So close.
I want a real sequel to Burnout 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, for sure.
Well, you know, like...
More than, like, Paradise.
Like, Paradise was just a different experience.
Yeah.
And
I really liked Paradise.
I loved
that. It was amazing.
Paradise. Yep. It was amazing. But I want something that's just totally focused on takedowns, so...
Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome. Even like...
Revenge.
Yeah. Revenge.
Burnout, the line.
Yeah, maybe we're wrong. Maybe the franchise isn't Spec Ops. Maybe the franchise is the line.
That's right. And maybe it's describing what part of the line it is. I don't know.
Excellent.
Oh, God.
All right. Last week, in honor of the Xbox's 10th birthday, we asked you guys to send in some of your favorite Xbox memories. We got in a ton of them. You guys are amazing. We had some great memories throughout.
Thanks for that.
But the one who won the... Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 giveaway is Pete Thomas. Pete wrote a really awesome, awesome memory that I'm going to share with you guys right now. Hey guys, I'm really enjoying the fresh reboot you have given the show. Whenever I see or hear someone discussing the original Xbox, I always flash to the memory of my father-in-law. He was somewhat of a PC gamer, but I remember him being very excited to buy himself an Xbox when it came out. It wasn't long after he got it that he was diagnosed with lung cancer. As you can probably tell by the way I'm writing, he is no longer with us, but I have many memories of visiting him and seeing the Xbox on the floor in front of the TV with my nephews, his grandchildren, playing it. He was too sick and medicated to play himself, but he did get to watch them share his original excitement. My mother-in-law has since moved to a new house, and every time we visit, I see the Xbox and games sitting in her entryway closet and am reminded of him. And for the record, I did not make this up.
Because if you did, Peter, we'd be so heartbroken, we'd have to come and, like, break your face.
That's
but
true.
We're not going to do that.
No. But no, Pete, that's a wonderful story.
That's really nice memory.
Yes. Yeah. And we trust you, Peter.
Excellent, excellent Xbox memory, and you get UMVC3. Congratulations.
And can we just recognize how cool it is that this piece of gaming hardware and these games inspire such a cool memory? I just think that's great.
Yeah, it is. No, it's fantastic. It's absolutely amazing. Well, thanks, guys, so much. That does it for our questions and answers period and for the Xbox memory. If you have any more questions for us or you just want to shoot the shit, be sure to send us a message at unlocked@ign.com. Keep your emails short and sweet so that we can get them on the air or on the podcast, rather. There's no actual air. Well, maybe if you have Wi-Fi. Conversely, you can hit us up on Twitter at Unlocked, at P. Eichmanns, at Lynchtacular, at IGN, and me at Steven_Hopper. For this week's giveaway, it's also tied into our meta achievement. Please send in a picture of your Thanksgiving holiday gaming experience. Basically, send us a picture of you with a turkey leg in one hand and an Xbox controller in the other, or something to that effect. It doesn't have to be exactly that.
You passed out on the couch.
Yeah.
See how many pieces of meat you can collect in Skyrim and throw in a room like a hoarder.
You've got stovetop stuffing just dribbling out of the side of your mouth.
Yes.
An Xbox controller laying on the floor next to you. That's the perfect picture. Send that to us. And, you know, if you're not from the U.S. or don't celebrate Thanksgiving, just send us a picture of you gaming and eating. You can have, like, a cheeseburger in one hand. Or if you're in France, a Royale with cheese.
Whoa!
No quarter pounders there, right?
Whoa.
Anyway, this is worth 25 gamer points, and you will be entered to win a copy of Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
What? That's amazing.
That's right.
At the very reasonable price of free, because you won it.
That's very right. Reasonably free.
That's a $40 value.
$40. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get those in, and hey, you know what? Have a great Thanksgiving holiday. And we will see you next week.
On the other side of the line.
Bleep, bloop.
Bloop.
A long sleeve button down shirt and slacks on, and he's just sort of convulsing next to the band while the band's playing the song. It's the weirdest thing. It's as if they're trying to simulate the feel of somebody who's jumped on stage while they're playing and is about to, you know, dive off, but they're on like a set that looks like a weird space beach with a white tree. And you should watch the video. It's fucking weird.
That's funny.
Maybe seriously. That was a thing to do in the 90s. Like, there were a lot of artistic dancers and shit. Whoa. It's glorious.
Smells like donuts.
Does it?
God.
Did you just stain that microphone with donuts?
Distinct. In 3 hours, the next podcasting group's going to come in here and be like, what the fuck?
Oh, God. What is that?
God it damn it. Smells it smells like donuts. Good Lord.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.